Go to Matthew's 9th chapter. Matthew chapter 9. This is the story of Jesus healing the paralytic. And you wonder, what has that got to do with Christmas? Well, nothing directly. So recall that was read this morning as part of the Advent candle in Luke 1:68. It says, "Praise the Lord, the God of Israel, because he has visited and redeemed his people." Praise the Lord was something that we heard this week at the funeral. And it is true that we should praise the Lord in all circumstances. Right? Praising the Lord. But notice the second part of the verse where it says, "visited and redeemed his people." This is what they were looking back on Isaiah chapter 7 for. That Jesus would come at some point and redeem his people. And so now we have the announcement, and it was announced, and we'll find out, we'll see in the next coming weeks, that it was the wise men who also came and said, you know, "Glory to God in the highest, peace on earth to all men with God, with whom God is well pleased." And so in Jesus, God has visited and redeemed his people, which is part of the birth narrative. That redemption comes from God himself. And we note here in Matthew 9 that he heals this paralyzed man. And he says, "Be encouraged, my child. Your sins are forgiven." Notice how Jesus here is equating sins forgiven with being healed. Now, sometimes God doesn't choose to heal folks. He is sovereign. He chooses to save us prior to death, spiritually, so that we will never die. We will get an earthly body now, and we will receive a heavenly bottle. There, twice. I'm a public speaker by profession. A heavenly body when we translate from here. And that's that passage in 2 Corinthians 5, where it talks about that translation, where we put on the heavenly body, that we want to get rid of this earthly tent that we now live in. And God has prepared us for this already. And that's what I said at the interment Thursday. That God has prepared us for that already. We will not die spiritually. That's what redemption is. It's greater than what we experience in this world. It's greater than the trials and travails we face while we're here. It's a higher call. Our home is not earth. And part of understanding death, and part of understanding that rite of passage, which all of us will face, is preparing us for heaven. Heaven's not going to be exactly like it is here, but somewhat. But somewhat. Paul said, "We see but dimly." Yeah, I remember telling Caleb when he was little, I said, "Don't look at this." And he's like, "Okay, Dad, I won't look." But we will be translated to glory, and we see but dimly right now. Our vision's not perfectly clear. We can only see glimpses, like the still small voice of the Spirit. So Zechariah prays the Lord, and of course his letter, his prayer and his praise was about John the Baptist. But obviously he was talking about John being the forerunner to the Messiah. And so Zechariah prays the Lord, the God of Israel, for visiting and redeeming his people in verse 69. This is in Luke 1. We read that earlier. "And he sent us a mighty Savior." In fact, go to that passage. I'd like you to see it. Luke chapter 1 is the narrative there. 67 through 80 is the passage. So then his father, Zechariah, was filled with the Holy Spirit and gave the prophecy. And there it says there in 69, he has sent us a mighty Savior from the royal line of his servant David, just as he promised through his holy prophets long ago. And of course, God used the lowliest of society, the wise men, to announce that coming with the angels. And so it takes faith to praise the Lord when life is at its most difficult. It takes faith to praise the Lord when life is at its most difficult. This is not our home. It's not our home. And we have to be reminded of that. And it's times like this, for at least our family, where we're reminded of that. It's not a harsh, cruel reminder. It's a loving and tender reminder that death is a rite of passage. That God blesses those. That it's a blessing that was received. That he's going to be with the Lord, and that probably my mom's going to go be with the Lord. That's a blessing. And while we're sad and have heavy hearts, we still remember the gift of Jesus. And we still have plenty of reasons to praise the Lord. And if we'll do that, God can heal us. In Luke 5, there's another story of a paralyzed man. And you'll see there in chapter 5 of Luke 18 and 19, and some men came carrying a paralyzed man on a sleeping mat. They tried to take him inside of Jesus, but they couldn't reach him because of the crowd. And so they went up to the roof and took off some tiles, and then they lowered the sick man on his mat down onto the crowd right in front of Jesus. Why do you think they did that? Do you think they would have took the trouble to tear the roof off the house and lower him in there if they didn't think that Jesus would heal him? They must have thought, boy, if we just get him in front of Jesus. If we just get him to Jesus, he'll heal him. If we just get him there, if we can get him stood up and so Jesus sees him, he'll heal him. That's exactly the kind of faith that I'm talking about today. I guess, theoretically, they didn't know if Jesus would heal him. But they certainly believed that if they lowered him down in the roof, that at least there was a chance. And of course, that's exactly what they did. And in fact, Jesus says to them, in verse 20, seeing their faith, Jesus said to the young man, your sins are forgiven. Notice he didn't say you are healed. Jesus equates forgiving sins with healing. Jesus equates forgiving sins with healing spiritually. When our sins are forgiven, we are healed. That's the metaphor. When we receive Christ as our Savior, when we become saved, we become born again. That is what real healing is. That we're reconciled to God forever. Paul said that again and again. And so we have nothing but rejoicing to do when those go to glory. We must live like the people who got the paralyzed man to Jesus. And so my question is, now these men were determined to get the paralytic in front of Jesus because they believed that if Jesus saw him, he would heal him. Of course, that's true. And then, of course, are we going to ask ourselves, are we pursuing Jesus with the same type of faith? Are we pursuing Jesus with the same type of faith? That if we just get before Christ, that if we bring our concerns before God, that if it's not a matter of as if he will, Boy, if we could just get him there, he would. That's what we're already thinking. Our faith comes into play to say, we don't believe whether or not God could heal. We struggle with whether or not God would. You say, well, if I make this decision, would God bless me? Or if I make that decision, would God bless me? I know that God could heal, but would he? Remember when he told the other paralytic, the leper, he said, I am willing. None of us probably struggle with the idea of, could Jesus do X, Y, or Z? It's a matter of if he would. And these men became so convinced that if they got the paralyzed man before Jesus, that not only could he heal him, that's why they lowered him down, but if they got him in there, that Jesus would heal him. That's what they believed. There was a purpose behind the healing. In Psalm 106 and verse 4, it says, remember me, Lord, when you show favor to your people. Come near and rescue me. Think of the spiritual aspect here. Salvation is obviously spiritual. Rescuing us eternally is much more important than rescuing us temporarily. And so when people come to know Jesus, they're saved, they're eternally set apart for God and his own, and they've been rescued. Rescued from what? Hellfire and brimstone. The lake of fire, that's what they've been rescued from. Remember what Jesus said to the criminal on the cross? Today you will be with me in paradise. Somebody asked me that question, where's Grandpa right now? I almost said, what do you think, moron? Where do you think it, you know? But I didn't say that, of course. He's dancing with Jesus, as all those who've died in Christ are. They're with God in heaven in glory now. They've received their heavenly body. They're not spirits without bodies. And when we die, we will go be with the Lord. And that is a blessing. One of the purposes of Christmas time is to restore us in the strength we need to live lives of faith all year. It reminds us, and Pastor Delroy said that we should have the Christ child in our hearts every day, didn't he? Christmas should be every day. And that's what we remember. It's so true. We should live like it's Christmas every day. God with us, Emmanuel. It isn't temporary. It isn't just when there was, you know, Tinkerbells and whatever else you got growing around and trees and balls of holly and cookies. It's not just the time. It's all year. Christmas should be in our hearts every day. Because God is with us. And that's what I want you to take with you all year. Emmanuel. Remember that. Emmanuel. God with us. Emmanuel. Emmanuel. Remember that. God is with us every day. Not just as we recognize Christmas time as being a part of a celebration. And Zechariah said that we can serve God without fear, and as John the Baptist, tell people how to find salvation through the forgiveness of their sins. In verse 74 of Luke 1, it says, we have been rescued from our enemies so we can serve God without fear in holiness and righteousness for as long as we live. And Jesus came to us because of God's tender mercy towards his people. And we're going to look at that story, that part of the story next week and in the following weeks as we light the Advent candle, because it's all about the Advent's about the narrative, birth narrative, the Advent of Jesus coming, the beginning. And so Jesus came to us because of God's tender mercy toward his people. And we know that's absolutely true because it says in the New Testament as well. And the birth narrative reminds us of God's mercy and favor toward us. In Luke 2, glory to God in the highest heaven. This is again with the wise men. And peace on earth, the shepherds, to those with whom God is pleased. In other words, it pleased God to send Jesus to us. It pleased God to send us a Savior. It pleased God that he would reconcile all of mankind to himself through faith in his Son. That pleased God. It shows that in God's eyes, we have favor. Have you thought of that? Have you thought of that? Often we think of God in heaven looking down on us with his laser eyes beaming in on our sins. God cannot look at sin. You remember that, don't you? He can't see us in our filth. And why are we eating in a pig pen? I used to say that to my brothers. How long are you going to live in the pig pen? How long are you going to be in there? How long are you going to eat those dried up, nasty, rotten bean shoots? And that rotten meat and that mud and slop. And how long are you going to live in like that? How long are we going to live like that? God is not displeased. He's pleased. That's why he sent his Savior. Ultimately, God doesn't want anyone to perish. Don't we be reminded of that? God does not want anyone to perish. Judgment comes because of a lack of faith. But he doesn't want that. He doesn't want us to crumble and die. He's got something for us to do. Probably lots of things. And we should get on with it. That's why Paul said we were ambassadors. So God is looking and is pleased with you, especially if you're saved. If you're a believer, God is pleased with you big time. You have to remember that. And living like that and believing in that way as a means of your faith will help you to persist when you do make mistakes. Because we will make mistakes. We will drop the ball. We'll deliberately do the wrong thing. We'll say things that are cruel. We'll sin. We'll do other stuff to other people. We can be insidiously wicked and jealous and selfish, and all that stuff's true. And then we need to repent. It's easy to go up to somebody and say, I'm sorry. You just have to decide to do it. There is no ego in saying you're sorry. There's no ego in confessing your sins. And God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's how much favor that you have with God. Peace on earth to those with whom God is pleased. In other words, the ones that he came to deliver, even the littlest of these.